I Suck at Dating with Dean, Vanessa, and Jared, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Hey, everybody, welcome to an all-new episode of Help, I Suck at Dating. This is Jared Haben. I'm back in studio from my long vacation over East, joined always by the beautiful Dean Ungler, Mark and Easton in studio. Everybody, round of applause, round of applause. Vanessa is not here this week, but we do have a very special guest who is on the phone right now, which is a surprise for Dean. Dean, do you know who this person is?
I don't. Who is it?
Okay, right. So it's renowned LA legendary chef Roy Choi. Now, that's not the reason for the surprise.
Wait, I think I do know who it is.
Well, who do you think it is?
The reason for the surprise, go ahead.
Because there's a pop-up Hot Cheeto restaurant LA for 3 days.
That's it.
Wait, are you kidding me?
And Roy's on the line right now.
And for people that don't know, Dean loves...
I tried to make a reservation at the New York restaurant last year, didn't get to do it. I tried to make a reservation at the LA restaurant this year, book solid.
Well, we have the right person that you can contact for a reservation. He's on the line right now. Roy, are you out there?
Yes, we're fully booked, though. Sorry.
Yeah, I told you. You can't get my hopes up like this, you guys. Oh, my God.
Well, we'll get to the next part of the surprise in a second, but talk to Roy about this amazing thing they're doing.
Roy, how are you? Will you fill us in a little bit about what you've been doing?
Yes, hello. I'm here right now. We're getting set up for tonight. Tonight's the opening night pop-up of the Flamin' Hot Cheeto Spot.
Incredible.
Flamin' Hot Spot restaurant. It's a 3-day pop-up using Flamin' Hot Cheetos and everything, like everything.
Which just sounds like my dream restaurant, which makes me, I'm so honored to have you on air here with us, because as anyone that follows me on Instagram or is just close to me or anyone knows, I'm obsessed with Hot Cheetos. Every single kind of Hot Cheeto, whether it's the regular ones, the extra, extra hots, the spicy limon ones, whatever they are. Tell us a little bit about maybe what inspired you for all of this stuff, because if I was a culinary artist such as you, I probably would do the exact same thing, but obviously not quite to the ability that you're able to do it. So tell us kind of where you got the inspiration, all that kind of stuff from.
Yeah, you got to come by tonight. We got every flavor. I think for me, this was looking to my fun side. You know, like I'm a very serious person, but like we all have a fun side, and this is my fun side. And what my fun side really is Kogi and Chego. I'm out there on the streets cooking tacos and burritos and quesadillas, and then at Chego we're making rice bowls. So it's like I know the fans that love our food love Hot Cheetos. So mm-hmm. It's like let's make our food but with Hot Cheetos, and that's exactly what we did.
Roy. Yeah, I'm sorry, Roy, you got your start with food trucks, right?
Yeah, with Kogi, the Kogi Korean barbecue taco truck.
That's awesome. And so now you're on to Cheetos, which is amazing. I'm looking at some of the entrees here. Dean, is anything catching your eye?
Because
everything
delicious.
Is catching my eye right now.
The main thing I really want to try is the Flamin' Hot Ranch Wings, the Chipotle Ranch.
As a matter of fact, we're bringing some in for you right now.
There's the surprise.
So it's Flamin' Hot Chipotle Ranch Wings, which sound amazing.
There's one right here on the plate in front of me. This is amazing.
And then there's a Cheetos Sweet and Spicy Chili Meatballs. Good God in heaven, this sounds like heaven.
That's really good. It's like sweet and spicy together.
Oof.
Really good.
Roy, do you like Hot Cheetos?
I love them.
Nice.
I love them. It's my number one snack, to be honest.
So that's just what you were like. I know there's a big fan cult following of Hot Cheetos. Obviously, you make good food. You're like, why not combine the two and see what happens?
Yeah, you know, it's like one of those things. I mean, you guys are in entertainment. It's one of those things where, like, something that you're already using, and if the brand contacts you and wants to do a collab, it's like it makes it even better.
So Hot Cheetos reached out to you, and they're like, hey, let's work together and make something magical.
Yeah.
I'm so envious right now. There's so many feelings that are coursing through me, and one of those is envy. So that's awesome. Well, I think I've reached out to Hot Cheetos so many times. I'm like, you guys, listen. I'll be your personal spokesperson, please. I'll mop the floors. I'll clean the bathrooms. Just let me be part of the Hot Cheeto franchise, please.
Well, I'll tell the team today.
Yeah, I appreciate it. So when is the pop-up in Los Angeles? When do you guys open doors?
Tonight. 5:30. We open tonight at 5:30 for the next 3 days, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, in Hollywood on Cahuenga and Franklin.
So I guess it must have been a big hit back in New York then, right, in order for you guys to bust out here on the West Coast too?
Yeah, I don't know. I really didn't know too much about last year, but this year is crazy. So, whatever New York was, LA is going to top it because it's LA, baby.
Right. Oh, so you weren't part of the New York launch last year then, huh?
No, this was the first year they contacted me.
Very cool.
So
okay,
I'm
gotcha.
Really excited.
So are all three nights booked up?
Yeah, they sold out in like 30 minutes.
That's insane. I'm looking at the three. So it's a 3-course menu, and it's priced between $11 and $32. And it's just like, where did you come up with some of these ideas? Like, for example, you have a Cheetos dessert menu. I see a Cheetos Sweetos hot cake. That's you know, good alliteration right there. A Chester Cheetos churro, a hot chocolate shake.
Good.
Wait, what's the hot chocolate shake? Does that have any Cheetos in it?
Yeah, it does. It's like a spicy Michelada chocolate milkshake.
I'll be honest, I don't know if I could do that one. I think Cheetos to me exclusively the crunch, and I don't think I could sip one through a straw. But again, I could be mistaken.
No, we grind it up into the milkshake, so it just makes the milkshake spicy, almost like spicy chocolate. And then we rim the glass like a margarita, but with crushed Cheetos.
Oh my God, you're telling me there's a crushed Cheeto rim on this milkshake? Holy God.
The five-alarm Cheeto steak, that sounds good. Roy, what's your favorite?
I think the meatballs are really, really good.
The meatballs? The
wings are crazy, too, because it's, like, all layered. It's in the marinade. It's in the crust. It's dusted on top. It's really, really good.
That's amazing.
I mean, this is the perfect date night for Dean. Dean, I wish you could bring your date there.
I wish I could go. Oh, wow.
You could go. Tell us about your experience. It sounds amazing. Well, the good thing is, though, here's the thing. If you can't make it out to L.A., you can also enjoy the dishes at home. You can order all the recipes and the ingredients, and they can be delivered to your door through Amazon Fresh.
That's cool.
Yeah. So you can.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, you can download all the recipes on CheetosFlamin'HotSpot.com. You can try them yourself, Dean.
But then you're telling me I have to do the cooking, which I'm not.
And unfortunately, I think Roy's probably a little bit better chef than you are. Like, listen. I appreciate you, buddy, but I think Roy might got you beat.
If they come pre-cooked and all I have to do is throw them in the microwave, I can do that pretty easily. Pretty good.
Master microwaver.
Yeah.
Well, we can stick you guys in if you really want to come.
Roy, I really want to come.
Well, let's go. I'll put your name at the door. It's like a club.
Okay, sign me up. Put me on the list.
Yeah, you're talking to the right guy. Roy, are you going to be there all three nights?
Yes, I will.
Ooh.
Amazing. All right, cool. Well, we'll be on the lookout. Like I said, I definitely want to show up. If I show up and I get pushed away, at least I can say I was there and I tried. But it sounds delicious. Like I said, I'm a freak for Flamin' Hot Cheetos. There are very few things in this world that I'm passionate about, and I swear Flamin' Hot Cheetos is one of them.
Oh man, we're gonna get you in. I'll have the team reach out to you after we get off.
Roy, I got a quick question for you too. You're affiliated with the 2014 movie Chef. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because I heard that was loosely based on your life.
Oh,
yeah. I don't know if it was based on my life, but probably what I did for a living was influenced. But it was John's script through and through. And he first brought me on just to be a culinary consultant, but we ended up becoming really, really good friends, and we. Just inseparable, and he just brought me in all the way to the process.
So you're good friends with Jon Favreau now?
Yeah, yeah.
That's badass, because I'm a huge MCU fan and big Iron Man and Iron Man 2 fan.
I'll let him know. Yeah, he's...
Please do!
I'll merge him into this call if you want.
Don't you tease me like that.
Yeah. Roy, you're just making all sorts of dreams come true today, I feel like. awesome. Well, so, for the listeners out there, like Jared said earlier, Roy Choi has the pop-up Flamin' Hot Cheeto restaurant in Los Angeles for the next 3 days from tonight through September 20th. Full three-course meals, all encompassing Flamin' Hot Cheetos. I'm crossing my fingers. I'm praying to the Flamin' Hot Cheeto gods above that I can show up and hopefully get a seat. and we'll see what happens. But again, like Jared said earlier too, if you can't make it to the restaurant, they did partner with Amazon Fresh, and you can order all of the Flamin' Hot dishes to your house by ordering the recipes on AmazonFresh.com. So be sure to check them out. Roy, you're the man. Thank you so much for calling in. I'm thank you for what you're doing for the world by creating these dishes that are delicious. Keep doing the incredible things that you do. And like I said, I really hope I can squeeze myself into the restaurant and sit down and enjoy some of your fresh cooked meals.
All right. Thank you, guys.
You're the man. Take care.
All right. Thanks, Roy.
Bye.
All right. Well, so
I know the thing is, though, we have all this food that's staring in front of us right now.
And I'm eating.
You're going to eat on air?
Let's take a break, and then we'll eat, and then we'll come back and tell everybody how it was. Here's
this
the first bite.
This is a flaming hot chicken wing, you guys.
Let's hear it.
It's not warm. It's cold in my hands, but
he ate an onion last week.
Oh, my God. I'm not even exaggerating a little bit. This is the best thing I've ever had in my mouth in my entire life.
Wow.
Not even the slightest bit of exaggeration with that.
All right, let's eat, and we'll be back in a minute.
Oh, my God. No, I don't want to stop.
So Dean is actually currently still eating the Cheetos. He can't get enough. I got to say, the wings in the corner of the cob is pretty incredible, so I can't blame him. But in the meantime, we do have a special guest on the phone right now. We have Samantha Hess, who is the owner of Cuddle Up to Me. Samantha, hello. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
No, I appreciate it. So, Samantha, tell us a little bit about yourself. You are a professional cuddler. What does that mean?
So, I'm technically now a master cuddler.
Oh, you're so is there a difference
Congratulations.
Between a, is there a difference between a professional and a master cuddler?
Yes. So, technically, certified cuddler is what we call ourselves here as we go through a 40-hour certification process. And then a master cuddler is someone who's completed that 40-hour program and then completed at least 250 session hours.
250 session hours of cuddling. Who are you cuddling with?
So our clients are anyone 18 and over, men and women, married, single, everything in between. Everybody has moments where they just need a hug.
So what got you into being a master cuddler?
I was one of these genius people that married my high school sweetheart, which, surprise, surprise, didn't turn out so well.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So after more than a decade of, like, complete lack of touch in my life, I decided that I needed to matter, too. And so I left my ex-husband, and I decided to be a person. And at the age of 28, I decided to go and strike it out on my own and kind of figure out how the world works. And then I was on Facebook one day and I saw this free hugs guy article who gets pumped, deluxe hugs, $2. I had just been hit on by like all of my male friends, was not expecting it, and realized that paying for hugs made it safe for me because I could dictate what the rules were. And so I decided there needed to be a Starbucks for hugs, and why wasn't that available? So I decided to make it a thing.
Wow, so that's incredible. So you're married to your high school sweetheart.
And I was, yes.
And so how long was that relationship?
Almost 13 years.
Wow. And then so you got out of that and needed some cuddles. And so now that you're a master cuddler, is there like a technique that you personally like to use? Like, can you tell us a little bit about the way you cuddle and like what's better and what's worse?
Totally. So I love squishy cuddles. I don't like when people are nervous or afraid to like just get in there. That's my personal style. You know, for work, I'm whatever somebody needs. But we do have 78 different cuddle poses that I can take people through.
78 different cuddle poses? Holy crap. That's a lot of cuddling.
Who knew?
I mean, I'm a big cuddler. Right? Don't get me wrong. There's nothing that I enjoy more than, you know, ordering in, cuddling, and watching House Hunters. And that's so interesting. Like, what are the different, can you just run through some different techniques that you might use on a day-to-day basis of cuddling?
Sure. So there's tandem bike, which is a version of spooning, essentially. There's gummy worm, which is the squishiest cuddle pose of all time. There's mama bear, which is the seated pose where you use someone like a human beanbag chair.
Oh, okay.
Stuff like that.
Yeah, I never knew that.
Something for everybody.
Seriously, I never knew there's so much thought into putting into cuddling.
So people go to your website who want to be cuddled, and they can choose their cuddler. I was just looking at it right here. They choose their cuddler, and then the chosen cuddler will travel to them, and you pay them for their time.
And so we actually have a retail space in Portland, but we do also offer outbound sessions as well.
Oh, I see. So people come in and do this.
Yeah.
So do you ever get hired?
Fun space.
And you show up, and you're like, I have to cuddle this person?
Yeah.
You know, it hasn't happened yet.
Really?
I'm somebody who just believes in people. I don't know. I'm sort of ridiculous about it. I think that oftentimes people are kind of treated as predators in today's society, and I like to give them that opportunity to prove that that's not
that's a good
how
point.
It is normally.
That's a good, we shouldn't assume that of people.
No, we shouldn't assume that, but it is a dangerous world to live out there. And so how do you keep, the first question that comes to mind is how do you keep your cuddler safe? Because if these people are, like I'm assuming that, is it more men or women that get ordered from your company? I'm assuming women.
So yeah, professional cuddling is definitely a women-driven industry. There's not much demand for male cuddlers at this point.
Well, do you find that more men are ordering cuddlers or more women?
So our business does have a pretty close to 50-50 split, but most of the industry is mostly men.
So it's mostly men ordering women?
Correct, yes.
So how do you keep your women safe? Like, is there?
So that's where the training program comes in. We have, you know, they have to go through so many things to learn how to protect themselves while also not creating shame or judgment for the clients. So often we're guiding people through this very new concept of platonic touch. You know, we're not taught how to touch each other without sexual intention in our adult lives.
Yeah,
so we get to teach people that.
That's really great. Yeah, because you talk about how your mission is, it's time to change the taboo around touch and engage in meaningful conversations around consent. Now, I'm curious about that, because in my past, you know, cuddling is definitely a precursor to more intimate moments between the two people that are cuddling. So what would you say about that?
I think that there's a great way to use cuddling, but it's not the only way. I think that we kind of miss out on this whole part of, like, what kids get to experience. And it's something we still need as adults. It's this, like, basic concept of human connection. And cuddling is one of the quickest and easiest ways for us to, like, recognize that we exist and other people exist as well. And we kind of need that to know that we matter and that we are seen just as we are.
No, I agree. I mean, physical touch is a big love language of mine, and I personally believe in it very much that, you know, some people just desire even just holding hands or having their arm, you know, put around somebody else. They really crave it.
Yeah.
And so that's very interesting. And so, like, for you being a cuddle master, like, what is...
Master cuddler.
Master cuddler, excuse me. Like, what does it do for your, like... It's hard to really articulate what I'm going to try to ask. How does it make you feel? You know, like what kind of fulfillment do you get from it?
I'm not sure I'm going to be able to do any other job anymore because, you know, I do up to 5 hours of sessions a day. And so my serotonin levels get kind of maxed out a lot. And so we get what we call the oxytocin high or the cuddle high, where you just get this like kind of euphoric feeling. It's like being high without drugs. It's amazing.
And there's no, sorry to go back to my earlier point about people being gross. There's no body odor problems. There's no sweat problems that are just kind of not something you want to cuddle in that moment.
Sometimes there are. We do have a hygiene requirement in our waiver.
Oh.
And some people have to do their best. But, you know, if somebody is severely obese, they may not smell super great, even if they've just taken a shower. You know, these kinds of things do happen. Or people who smoke, you know, that's all
smokers
for me. Yeah.
You've definitely been cuddling someone when they maybe tried to kiss you or maybe their hands started to wander a little bit. And you know how to handle that situation. You've been trained.
Right. Yeah. Because of the training, we know how to redirect people without their actually knowing what we're doing.
You don't just smack them across the face and storm out.
Not yet. I've seriously never had to end the session early. People have been very good about it.
And how many sessions have you done?
I'm over 150,000 minutes of paid professional cuddling, not including the training that I've done. So.
What is the weirdest experience that you've had?
Oh, you know, I would love to share a million stories with you, but we have confidentiality.
Of course you do. I know. Why did I even ask?
I know. Good try, though.
All right. So if people want to cuddle, where do they go?
So we have two options. If they're in Portland, Oregon, we're at cuddleuptome.com. If they're anywhere else, we're at certifiedcuddlers.com.
And so are you international? Is this within the country?
You
can order anywhere?
We have people in Germany and Austria and a few different places throughout the world, and we're getting out there.
That's incredible.
Wow.
And I mean, that's incredible. I just think it's so interesting for me because I think I've always used cuddling as more of a... you know, a personal, intimate thing. And so it's interesting to know that people just kind of crave human touch so much that they're willing to pay for somebody to cuddle with them. I mean, good for them. That's incredible. And good for you for coming up with this company. I mean, it's such an interesting idea and very obscure and unique and original. I've never seen anything like it, the idea of paying for someone to cuddle with you. But, you know, you just need cuddles sometimes. Dean is back from eating right now, and he's a big cuddler.
I love cuddling. I will say these exist in Japan, I think. I didn't get to experience one myself, but I think they're like cuddling hotels or rooms.
True. They started in Japan about 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Nice, Dean.
That's awesome.
Yeah. pretty great. There you can actually pay to use someone's butt as your pillow. You can't do that in the States.
Wow.
Not yet. It's coming. Well, Samantha, thank you so much for coming in. We really appreciate it. And definitely everybody, whoever wants a cuddle out there, needs somebody out there, please check out CertifiedCuddlers.com.
I'm a little sad I wasn't here for this entire conversation.
I know. We were sad, too.
This sounds right up my alley.
You were too busy eating Cheetos.
Did you guys talk about big spoon, little spoon etiquette?
Well, okay, no, but that's fine. You can get into that. She did call, what did you call it? You didn't call it spooning. You called it something else.
Tandem bicycle.
Tandem bike.
That's actually pretty good. Just the seats are really close to each other on this tandem bicycle, apparently.
The position I use is the 127 hours, where my wife and I are cuddling, and then she falls asleep, and my arm falls asleep, and I have to gnaw my arm off to go to work in the morning.
That's funny.
I have a YouTube video called How to Spoon that will teach you how to resolve all those problems.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
What's the YouTube channel name?
Cuddle Up to Me.
Perfect. We'll check it out. I will say, I think I might be in the minority on this, but I love being Little Spoon.
Nah, I like being Little Spoon a little bit,
it's
too.
It's my favorite thing in the whole world. Like so
yeah,
much.
The secret is everybody likes being a Little Spoon.
Yeah, you know what? And it's kind of it stinks that men are always expected to be the big spoon.
Mm-hmm.
We need to break down these gender normative ideas.
I love being the big spoon.
You like being big spoon.
I do. I like all of them, though.
Can I get your phone number? Just kidding. Too much. Well, that's awesome.
Thanks. Yeah, Samantha, thank you so much for coming in. Definitely, guys, check out CertifiedColors.com if you want to be small spoon, little spoon, or just the tandem bicycle, you know? It's always up to interpretation. Samantha, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye, Samantha.
Bye.
What's the etiquette on cuddling towards each other?
Well, I don't think there is an etiquette, because you're kind of 50-50 at that point, aren't you? Like, big spoon, little spoon, little spoon's obviously better. But if you're facing towards each other, it's very equal.
So I had an ex who... every night we went to sleep together, we always fell asleep facing each other. And at first, I was like, this is kind of cute. It's romantic. But then, like, 6 months in, I was like, why do we fall asleep facing each other?
There's breath issues eventually.
The breath thing.
Morning breath, obviously.
And, like, you can't, like, fully embrace someone, like, in a hug if you're facing them because, like, your legs are bending into each other.
And how can you sleep?
Yeah.
Oh, dude, screw that. Yeah. It's like nice being in a committed relationship now because, like, you have your cuddle time, but you also know, okay, bedtime.
Yeah,
see ya. Like, I'll see you in the morning. So, we're all going to Vegas this weekend. Dean, you're going. I'm going. Nick's going. Ashley's going. Who else is going? Wells, Ben, pretty much the entire Bachelor crew. Guys, we're going to Vegas for the iHeart Music Festival this weekend, and you can come hang out with us at Planet Hollywood Resort and Casino. You visit the Scene pool deck located on the 6th floor. You can party all afternoon. You can come test your surfing skills on the Flow Rider. Dean, are you going to ride the Flow Rider?
I love the Flow Rider.
You did it last year, didn't you?
It literally is my favorite thing.
You're good at it.
Maybe the second favorite thing behind Hot Cheetos is the Flow Rider.
Can you imagine being on the Flow Rider with one of those Hot Cheetos wings in your hands?
Oh, God. Talk about a dream come true.
That needs to happen this weekend. It's at the Las Vegas Strip only. Freestanding. It's the only freestanding wave machine on the Las Vegas Strip. It's at Planet Hollywood Resort and Casino. You can visit the Cafe Hollywood. It's right down the main casino. There's breakfast, lunch, dinner. We're serving whatever you desire. Well, not I won't be serving it, but the nice people at Planet Hollywood will be. It's 24 hours a day. Features all newly renovated rooms. There's massive suites with dazzling center strip views. When you stay at Planet Hollywood, the celebrity lifestyle is yours for the living, and fame lies at every corner. You can experience the epicenter of the A-list entertainment in Las Vegas when you visit the Zappos Theater at Planet Hollywood Resort and Casino. Guys, come hang out. We're all going to be at Planet Hollywood this weekend. Check out planethollywoodresort.com if you want to stay there with us.
If you're around Planet Hollywood between the hours of probably 11 a.m. and 7 p.m., I would say odds are pretty good I'll be on that Flow Rider.
You're going on the Flow Rider, either the blackjack table or the Flow Rider. Go check them out.
Yeah, honestly, those are the two places I'll be. Oh, and the iHeartRadio Music Festival, too, which is kind of whole for
point of us. We're going to barely dabble into that. We're going to be on the Flow Rider eating Cheetos wings the entire time.
I'm excited you're coming this year because you weren't there last year.
This is my first iHeart Festival.
Nice.
I'm pretty excited, yes.
You didn't do Jingle Ball?
I did Jingle Ball, but this is my first iHeart Festival in Vegas.
Oh, nice. Okay, cool.
Yeah, but
Timberlake, Carrie Underwood, Shawn Mendes, Kygo, Mariah Carey, Imagine Dragons, Sam Smith, Kelly Clarkson, Logic, Luke Bryan, Panic at the Disco, Jack White, Lynyrd Skynyrd, Fleetwood Mac, Jason Aldean, and Ray Schremer.
What a lineup.
Dean Ungler, Jared Haven.
Ben Higgins.
We fit right in.
Yeah. Super talented. Okay, so next up, we had her on last week. Was it last week? 2 weeks ago. We talked about brain spotting a little bit. Back in studio.
Haley Hewitt. Yay.
Haley Hewitt, everyone.
Thank you. Haley, it's very nice meeting you. I think this is the first time we've met, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Pleasure.
Well, thank you for coming in for the second straight week.
Mm-hmm.
So Haley and I just met in a back like a little office area.
That sounded bad.
One-on-one for a little bit. And
for a therapy session.
For a therapy session, Jared. It only sounds bad because you just said it sounds
bad. You
know,
we've been talking about cuddling for a half an hour.
Exactly.
So
where do you think my head is at?
Yeah.
My head's still on Flo Rider and Hot Cheetos.
Never a bad place.
So we had her on last week, and we discussed brain spotting and some, I guess, just therapeutic of like processes that we can go through as individuals. But she is so kind that she decided to come in and be here in person and do some brain spotting and get to the root of some of the issues, the many issues that I have, and just kind of see what unfolds, I guess, right? So do you want to say hi to the listeners again and kind of reintroduce yourself real quick?
Yeah, so Haley Hewitt, I'm a marriage and family therapist up in the Bay Area, and I come down here once a month to see clients. Specializations are in trauma and family systems and working through the body, so working with the body to heal.
So what we're going to do is Haley is going to do some of her brain spotting techniques with me. We're going to go over some of my physical reactions, more so than my emotional sensations. My physical sensations rather than my emotional reactions.
Can you guys talk about what you just talked about? Is that kind of off limits?
Yeah, so just to clarify, I'm here just to do a demonstration with Dean, who is ready and willing, and it's really wonderful that you're doing this so
yes.
Others can kind of witness. It's a newer modality of treatment. So it stemmed after EMDR, which is very successful in treating trauma and just anything, you know, depression, anxiety, and so on. And so we clarified something called a statement of focus, which I'll have you read, and then a resource statement. And we'll use those two statements to do the brain spotting in the studio. And I'll kind of be talking out loud about what we'll be doing so listeners can understand.
And then, Dean, can I ask you what you want her to help with? No? Okay.
Yes, of course you can.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know what's off limits. This is kind of really interesting. It's a little awkward for me because I do feel like I'm almost hosting the podcast but also overstepping my boundaries because I don't want to cross any limits that you guys want to talk about, don't want to talk about.
I mean, as far as I'm concerned, there are no limits that can be crossed.
But, okay.
So we did establish a statement of focus in the one-on-one session we just had,
okay,
which will basically tell you and the listeners what I feel like I need to identify and continue to work on.
Okay, great.
Yes.
Yeah, and just in brief, brain spotting's goal is to bypass the conscious neocortical thinking. So you access the deeper subcortical, emotional, and body-based parts of the brain.
What is subcortical?
Subcortical, so it's deeper. It's within the brainstem, our nervous systems, our bodies, beyond the frontal cortex.
And okay. Before we go further than this, I want to say that I love this type of therapy. Like neuroscience and the brain is all so interesting to me. I read a few books about this. Granted, every other word I don't understand, so most of it goes directly over my head. But I find it so fascinating. And whenever Haley talks about this type of stuff, you can tell that it comes from a place of incredible depth of knowledge, which I think is fantastic. A lot of times, you see that, and Mark knows, like these pseudosciences that kind of come from places where I don't necessarily agree with.
Mm-hmm.
So this type of stuff, in my opinion, is much more legitimate, and I just appreciate it more. Yeah.
And they're doing research on it. You know, it was formed in 2003. And so like EMDR, it's difficult to qualitatively measure this sort of work.
Right.
You know, CBT is a common one that's easy to measure because there's homework and you scale and measure. But they're working on measuring how it actually has an efficacy.
And what is CBT?
Cognitive behavioral therapy.
Gotcha.
Change your thoughts, change your life. That's in essence.
Okay, perfect.
Change your thinking, change your behavior. So what we'll be doing is we'll be using a little teacher pointer here. It looks like one of those extendable teacher pointers, and we'll be moving through different quadrants on left and the right sides, focusing eventually on one spot. And he has headphones in with bilateral music. So David Grand has free bilateral music on Spotify. Just search Brain Spotting or David Grand and you can check it out. Or, you know, YouTube bilateral or binaural music. And it alternates between the left and the right hemispheres of the brain. So it's engaging the left and the right, left and the right.
And is it like a particular type of music? Or is it just...
It's just soothing, calming, ambient music. No
gotcha.
Words, just, you know, ocean sounds with a little guitar.
Totally. And for our listeners out there, Dean is currently putting those headphones on as we speak. And then Haley has a pointer that looks exactly like your fourth grade teacher in science would have. And as she points to the chalkboard. Oh, and it extends. It's like 3 feet in length. Just don't whack Dean in the head with it. That's all.
Or do. Okay.
So we will be making the statement of focus, which we already did. So typically these sessions take longer, but we're condensing it for the sake of the demonstration. So we will state his, you know, summary of his work, and then he'll start scaling his experience with the subjective unit of distress scale, which some of you have I handed out. It scales from 0 to 100, 100 being panic attack, intolerable, so much adrenaline, and 0 being baseline calm. And so he'll be scaling his experience from 0 to 100 as it vacillates and using some physical sensations, describing the physical sensations happening viscerally in his body as we move through the statement of focus. And so, you know, we'll move from there into then the resource statement that he made, and he'll be scaling with a resource scale from 0 to 100, 100 being so calm and happy and comforted and soothed, 0 being distressed. And so he'll scale that. And then we'll do a little process at the end and see what came up for you.
I'm nervous.
Mm-hmm. How do you know you're nervous?
I can just feel it in my chest.
What's the sensation of it?
A vacuous feeling, maybe, like an emptiness.
Mm-hmm. Good. So he's already starting to work on describing experience. So let's just take a moment and turn inward. You can close the eyes or take a soft focal gaze on an unmoving point. And just begin to notice the breath as it moves in and out of the nostrils. Maybe take a seat right behind the nose and the upper lip, just witnessing the breath move in and out. And the thoughts are going to be moving and playing, and you're just going to keep returning your attention to your breath. And we're going to get his music started here.
What Dean doesn't know is that I actually put a full list of Rob Thomas and Matchbox 20 instead of this soothing music.
I just want some DMX.
Some Creed.
Yeah. Okay. I actually put Rob Zombie on there.
Good. So before we move in, what are you noticing right now? 0 to 100, 100 being, you know, very stressed. What would you scale?
I'm probably like a 23.
Okay. So a 23 on his distress scale there.
Meaning I have minimal anxiety / distress.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Great. And so I will have you read your statement of focus.
Okay. So this is a statement of focus we put together behind doors, closed doors. This is going to feels weird to say. Okay.
Well, as you say it, stay in touch with what's happening on a visceral level in your body. Okay. Your best.
Mm-hmm. I'm struggling to find purpose in my life. I'm guilty of not taking the proper steps to deal with what happened to me thus far that has been difficult. I have guilt over not realizing the impact of some of my childhood experience on myself as an adult. I can't give myself in relationships because I'll be hurt. If I don't let others help me and just rely on myself, then there won't be the possibility of being let down by someone else.
So he's externalized this internal cognitive process that I'm curious, just in reading that, what are you noticing?
I would say I probably went up to like a 40 in terms of the stress thermometer.
Mm-hmm. How do you know?
I can just feel the anxiety in my chest go up a little bit, mm-hmm. a little bit more anxious, a little bit more, I don't know, stressed out, I guess.
Mm-hmm. So given he's at a 40, that's where we will start. So he'll keep his gaze on the point, and it's an unmoving point, and it's to the right about 2 feet in front of him. And so where would you now scale 0 to 100, that statement of focus, and that sensation of tightness and anxiety in your chest?
Well, it's gone down a bit since it's passed, so I'm probably down to a 30.
A 30?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll shift now over to his left. Now 0 to 100. How would you scale the sensation in your chest as well as the statement?
10 to 20. Mm-hmm. What was the first one?
40.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I am struggling to find a purpose in my life. I'm guilty of not taking proper steps to deal with what happened to me.
Oh, do you want me to reread the whole SOF?
No, I can read it for you. I can't give myself a relationship because I will be hurt. If I don't let others help me and just rely on myself, then there won't be the possibility of being let down by others. So we have a 30, we have a 20, and then how about right here in the middle? We have the pointer.
30.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we're going to stay on the point where it's the highest. I'm going to stay over here to your right.
Okay. You want to give me the distress.
That's right. Okay. That's right. So we're safely accessing the distress in a containment, right? In a container. So you have the ability to allow for it to come up and sit with it, and then eventually it will start to change. So I want you to focus your attention on the point.
Okay.
And keep your gaze on the point. And I want you to just continue shifting, you know, your attention through the details of the painful experiences that have contributed to your statement of focus, something you've been stuck around or felt upset about. So the brain, as he's looking, is just processing. It's just rapidly moving and processing different thoughts and feelings. Sometimes the intensity will go up and then... So where'd you say it's at? 0 to 100.
Still right around 30.
Mm-hmm. So just stay with that. Can you describe some physical sensations you're having in your body?
I think physically I'm much more relaxed. It feels weird, or relaxed, I'm sorry. It feels weird looking to my right and thinking about these things. I don't know why. It just this doesn't feel natural.
Intense to just stay on one point.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It is. Similar to like the eye contact thing. I struggle with eye contact. So it's like, I mean, this is easier because obviously no one's looking directly back at me, mm-hmm. but uncomfortable.
And just stay with that. Stay with the discomfort. Just observing whatever's coming up. So thoughts, feelings, all without judgment. Notice if any memories or thoughts come up.
Do you want me to talk about them?
Yeah, if it feels okay.
Well, that's pretty much everything that we discussed in the SOF. I'm thinking about, like, what am I going to be doing in 2 years? I kind of don't necessarily like to think about the past so much. So I'm thinking about the stressors that are still laying out there somewhere, you know?
Uh-huh. What happens when you think about the past?
I dismiss it. And in terms of how I feel, I think I've gotten used to glazing over it to the point where I don't necessarily let it affect me very much emotionally anymore.
So something that I'm noticing that I'll point out for listeners, and you can tell me what your thoughts are, is your right arm is twitching.
Oh.
Are you aware of that?
No, I did not know that.
So these sorts of body tics or movements are the body discharging energy, just moving and releasing energy. So for the sake of time, we're going to shift gears. Are you 0 to 100? Have you shifted at all?
Still right around. Well, I guess I'm up to 40 now.
Ah, it's increased.
Yeah.
Okay, let's just allow for that. You know, 40 to be present, is it still a tightness or anxiousness in your chest?
Well, now I'm focusing on my little twitch.
On your twitch. All right, so just allow it. No attempts to change, just okay. Noticing what's happening.
Okay.
So because it's gone up for him, now we're going to shift into a resource spot. So what we'll do is have him read his resource statement, and we'll shift the gaze point, where the pointer is, to a different spot, typically on the opposite quadrant. And so I'll have you read your resource statement.
My resource statement says, I have time to define my purpose. I am on my path and will continue to discover the things that are meaningful to me. I am working to understand and heal myself in order to open up in relationships. I am integrating my past into my present and trusting myself and this journey. I am taking the proper steps to heal myself and grow my experiences. As an adult, I now realize the impact of the losses I experienced and am giving myself space to integrate those losses into my life with vulnerability and strength.
What are you noticing in your body as you made that statement?
Feels good. I feel strong and powerful.
Mm-hmm.
No, I do feel better.
I noticed you rolled your shoulders back on opening your chest.
Yeah, it's nice to like... I do agree with these whole like affirmative statements about yourself. And that's something that I know that I need to work on a little bit more. So saying things like that, it definitely makes you feel a little bit more at ease.
Yes, that's the hypnotism piece, right? The hypnotist was saying you manifest what you state, right? I want this rather than I don't want. Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people do that, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's the whole idea about like talking about your insecurities, and when you start doing that, you project them on others and they start believing it. So the same thing conversely goes with, if you start projecting confidence about yourself, people will start believing it, and so will you.
So let's just stay on the spot just for a moment here, your resource spot. I have time to define my purpose. I'm on my path and continue to discover the things that are meaningful to me. I'm working to understand and heal myself in order to open up in relationship. So from 0 to 100, looking at that point, 100 now being the most resourced, most comforted, how does that feel?
So now it shifts. So high is good.
High is good.
75?
And name a resource spot in your body. So a place in your body that feels comforted, soothed, resourced.
I guess my back feels good. This chair is very comfortable. And so it's like, I don't know.
Very comfortable chairs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I've noticed a couple times again with the rolling of the shoulders back. So this sort of opening sense of empowerment maybe in your heart, in your chest.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sense of, comfort.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, yeah. So in essence, I think we, you know, can just kind of process a little bit here. For the sake of time. So in essence, what we were doing with him was expanding his window of tolerance. So your ability to sit with distress and not, you know, be so fearful of it in the world. I think what happens is we tend to hang out in the place of 3 to 7. And some people can go 8 to 9 to 10 and it can feel overwhelming, or some can just baseline go flat. Top-down management, which is like we go into rational thinking, we minimize our experience and our feelings. And so this sort of therapy gives you an opportunity with the safety and support of someone else to be able to go into difficult experience and stay with it within the body rather than just sit in a room and talk about your experience and not necessarily make that mind-body connection that's necessary to really unroot what we store in our bodies. So what was that experience like for you?
It was good. I have a question. Do you think there's any type of utility in people being too hard on themselves, like they could benefit?
Yes. So our self-critic is developed early in our lives as a way to help us stay safe, right? Don't cross that street. Don't touch the hot pan. So initially, earlier in our lives, it's a way to help keep us safe. But as we enter into our 20s and older, I think it's really hard work and it's really important work to start to not listen to the self-critic. It's important to do our best, of course, show up for our lives and for our relationships, but to do it from a place of criticism is constrictive.
So how does one do that? How does one get out of that mode of thinking?
So you could think of it like a bus, right? We have, you know, internal family systems. It's all the different parts of ourselves, our internal child, our internal critic, our internal perfectionist, all these different parts. So if you're not allowing for the critic to drive the bus and thinking about yourself as parts of like, okay, that's just a part of myself. That's a part of myself that wants me to do well. So you kind of thank the critic, like, thank you, critic, for helping me do my best and show up. And right now it's not helpful for me. So adapting that sort of compassionate approach to it of like, and right now I don't need that. You know.
So one of the things that I think I'm most critical of myself or about myself is, as we discussed as well before, is I don't allow myself to be emotional. Like I'm aware of all of the things that I know I need to work on, but I think that I struggle to find that compassion within myself. And it, from what I've experienced, people can skew one of two ways where it's, you can skew logical or you can skew emotional. And I think that on that scale, I skew to a fault, too far to the logical side, which makes it hard for me to connect with the people that skew more on the emotional side of things. And I think when that comes to relationships, that's been a kind of a fall short of mine as well. So how do I work on that where I can kind of bring that needle more towards the middle of logic and emotion?
Mm-hmm. See, so that's the top-down management, right? Going into rational thinking, minimizing awareness of feelings and body sensations. And I'll say that is a useful strategy in an emergency or crisis. And I know we briefly talked a little bit about some of the things he's, you know, witnessed in his lifetime around people dying. You know, when you were 10, you know, you witnessed a friend get hit. And I mean, it was like a really gory accident. And anyone would suffer from post-traumatic stress for that. And then losing your mother, and then, you know, also another friend to an overdose. So those three events, you know, in the face of crisis, you were able to just like, okay, I'm going to be logical, I'm going to manage, I'm going to keep it together. But then that becomes a habitual way of being in the world. So in relationship, it becomes kind of how you relate in the face of intense emotion. Mm-hmm. And so what I would encourage is see what happens if you stay. So see what happens if you stay and lean in, as I said last week, to the discomfort. Of course, have good boundaries. So, you know, when it's a partner and there's a lot of emotion there and you don't know how to help, it's okay to say, you know what, let's take a break. I need a little time out here to resource myself. Go get some water, go get some tea, maybe go for a walk. So you feel resourced enough. But, you know, we talked about, I heard on this podcast, ghosting. Ghosting has been a theme lately. Mm-hmm. And the whole essence of ghosting is because people are too uncomfortable to have that conversation. Or they're like, oh, it's just better if I don't say anything because it will be too hard or uncomfortable. So it's all about distress tolerance. Expand your window of tolerance. Be with discomfort. Keep doing your therapy and your therapeutic, you know, container where you have the safety of one other person and the privacy to be able to deepen and go into the emotions. And it's all about embodied presence practices. So we talked about yoga, these practices where dance, we're in our bodies, we have the presence in our bodies, and it, you know, allows for us to develop an attuned awareness of our somatic self beyond the thinking, because we are more than our thoughts. If we were just our thoughts and I were to say, I'm a bad person, does that mean I'm a bad person?
Because
not necessarily, right?
We debated
right?
this last week as well. You said we're more than just our thoughts, and I kind of disagreed with you, because I think that's really all we are, is our thoughts.
Oh, I see. I disagree with you.
Well,
if I was just all my thoughts, I'd be in a bad place right
exactly.
now.
But what are you if you're not your own thoughts?
You are your actions. Your thoughts and your actions are two very different things.
Okay, so you're saying
you can think one thing. Have you ever thought you wanted to kill somebody?
I don't think so.
You've never not like legitimately, but you've never really thought like somebody pissed you off to the effect where you're like, God, I even not punch them in the face. You've never had that feeling, that thought in your head where you're like, that person pissed me off so much, I want to punch them in the face. But you didn't punch them in the face because you rationalized your thought and were able to calm yourself and not act on your thoughts.
Okay, but you're not the thought of punching him in the face. You're the thought of reasoning with yourself to then get over the idea of punching him in the face. So then you become the person that doesn't punch him in the face.
Exactly, which is the person you are, but not the thought of actually doing it.
I don't know.
You've never, like, because I disagree with you in that sense.
What about your heart? What about your spirit? What about your, you know, gut? Like, what about who you are beyond your brain, this brain?
I don't know. I just think that it all starts here.
I agree with you.
80% of our serotonin is released in our guts, the happy chemical, one of our neurotransmitters. Uh-huh. So they're discovering more that actually our gut is a brain and our heart is sentient and intelligent too. Hmm. So we might have three brains.
Where's the third?
The heart,
gut, and the actual brain.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, Haley, thank you so much for coming in. I know this must be, I think it's probably more challenging for you because it's more expedited than like a regular full session is.
Yeah, typically a brain spotting session should be 50 minutes to an hour and a half. And so, you know, we had to really condense it. And of course, this was a demonstration. It wasn't a therapy session because this, you know, therapeutically, it's appropriate to do it with the support of just a counselor one-on-one so that you feel safe to really go there.
I felt much more comfortable back when it was just us two than when all these jamokes were in studio with us. So maybe next time you're in LA, we can do a one-on-one full session.
Yeah.
And then you're just heckling Dean the entire time, throwing peanuts at him when his eyes were closed.
Smacking him with the pointer.
So what's next for you? You go back to San Francisco?
Yep. Yeah. Back to San Francisco this evening.
Mm-hmm. Nice short little flight.
Yep. Easy trip.
Cool. Well, if we don't have you in studio, we'll have you on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And next time you're in Los Angeles, give us a call. We'll all have just individual sessions with you.
Great. I'm ready.
We'll do some couples therapy.
There you go.
Ooh, okay.
Have you actually ever considered? I know it doesn't seem like you probably need it, but no. Would you ever consider it?
Of course, we would consider it, but it's really just not necessary right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't want to say it's not necessary in case, you know, whatever, but it's just not something that we would do right now. We talk a lot about everything. So
Ashley's a very emotional person.
Very emotional, and then I'm very receptive, mm-hmm. and then she also conversely is able to like get things out of me that I have a very difficult time talking about.
Yeah. That dynamic is kind of like what you were talking about. So I love that you said receptive. So being receptive and yet not trying to fix, not trying to change her, not trying to fix her, but just being attuned and receptive to her.
Oh, I'm never going to fix Ashley. I realized that a long time ago.
And she will never fix you.
She doesn't need to be fixed. She's perfect.
That's right.
You, on the other hand, maybe not so much.
I got a lot of work to do, baby.
Hey,
it's a work in progress.
But that was the point I was trying to make, because I think I skewed too hard to the logical side of things, that this allows me to, I guess, even like move a little bit towards emotion.
Get out of your head a little bit. Yeah. And deeper than emotion, actually, because our feelings, our emotions are cognitive too, thoughts and feelings. Mm-hmm. So it's actually more visceral, body-based. You're getting in your sensations.
I got to talk to my gut a little bit more, I think.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll work on that. Okay. Through the act of meditation. All right. Well, thank you again for coming in.
Mm-hmm.
It's always a pleasure.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. I'll be honest. I'm not going to say it, actually. So I'll say it, and I'm probably going to get some backlash for this. From our phone call yesterday, I thought that you were going to be like 55. You are very articulate and intelligent,
yes,
and you have a very soothing voice. I was like, this old lady is so wise beyond her years. Yeah. And now come to find out you're in your 20s, and so you're even wiser beyond the years that I thought you were already wise beyond.
Yeah, wow.
Crazy.
That's kind, thank you. I'm an old soul.
Anyways, you have a website, yes?
Yes, it's HewittMFT.com, HEWITT.
That's right.
MFT.
And you don't have an Instagram?
Nope, I don't believe in social media.
Okay.
It creates the dopamine surge in the brain that contributes to addiction.
Maybe I should delete
suffering.
My Instagram.
I don't believe in social media either, and yet here we are.
Well, you use it to make money.
Well, more than that.
Well, yes.
So do you.
Yeah, and it's you know, if it's your livelihood, if you use it for work, that's one thing. But wow. I choose not to. I just mark it through my website.
Well, you can't find her on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook, but you can definitely find her on the internet. HewittMFT.com. And it's HEWITT.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Just like Packard Hewitt. Hewitt Packard.
No, that's Hewlett.
Oh, boy. There we go.
Not like Hewlett Packard.
Not like that guy.
Anyways.
Like Jennifer Love Hewitt.
HewittMFT.com.
But we're not related.
There we go.
Check it out.
Yeah, check it out.
And Haley, we'll circle back with you at a later date, and we'll see how everyone's doing then. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you, Haley.
Great having Haley back in here. It was great to meet her face-to-face.
That was nice.
All right, we got emails?
So, well, before we get to emails.
I know what's coming up.
Okay, good. We got on Scrubbing In, we got Tanya's point of view on the date with Dean. And now we need to get Dean's point of view on the date with Dean.
All right, can I get a little preface? Because I wasn't here. So there was like a conversation between you and Tanya that you guys were going on a date.
Dean's mouth is full of sugar bear hair, so I will say this, because I hate the sound of people eating on microphone. It's a pet peeve of mine.
I agree.
It's the worst.
He asked her out. He legitimately asked her out. He asked her out without any kind of, preconceptions, any kind of tongue-in-cheek. There was nothing like that. He legitimately asked her out, and she was very questioning of it. And what are your motivations, and are you just playing with me? Because we've been friends for a long time. But he was like, no, I really want to take you out on a date. And she eventually relented and said yes.
I broke her down.
You did, kind of, yeah. Because her guard is up. So he picked her up at 6:30 last Wednesday. They went to Elefante.
That's the number one garden.
They were denied.
Yes.
What do you mean you were denied? You didn't make a reservation for the date?
So I tried to make a reservation. They were all booked up. They said, if you guys want to try and come to the bar, we might have seating for you. So we showed up at Elefante. Obviously, sure enough, they didn't have any seating. Sonoma Wine Garden is like a 2-block walk away, and it's actually much nicer. It's like a rooftop. You can kind of overlook and see the street.
We think that they weren't dressed nicely enough for Elefante. We think they were judged.
We were both in jeans and a t-shirt.
Because they were going to a concert.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. What concert?
Betty Who. So just a pure concert on Wednesday nights in Santa Monica.
Oh, Betty Who.
Yeah, it was actually really fun.
Betty Who.
The funny thing is about this, I was thinking this on the way here, is it's such a funny thing to go on a date, especially with Tanya, because not only does she talk about it on Scrubbing In with you guys, she talks about it on Ryan Seacrest in the Morning.
She did, yeah.
Which is just so easy for me to find access to and listen to. And I'm like, I'm listening to her talk about a date that she went on with me. And it's just kind of funny and weird.
Yeah, it's very weird.
It's a really good plug for the podcast, though. I can't complain.
It's all weird.
But, I mean, the date went well.
What did she say anything on Scrubbing In or on the Seacrest show that really piqued your interest? That you thought, oh, that's interesting. I didn't know she felt that way.
I think on Scrubbing In, she said something along the lines of, I was thinking about him over the weekend,
yeah,
which I thought was
say
weird.
That. That's,
oh my.
You think that's weird?
God.
Not weird. It was very sweet. It was very,
very sweet. Yeah.
She said, so she was thinking about you over the weekend after the date.
Yes.
Did you guys, all right, hold on. Let's hear about the date. I want to hear your version of the date.
I picked her up at 6:30.
Okay.
On the dot.
Okay.
Yes, she said so. Yeah.
Right on time.
That boy.
We drove to Elefante, valeted my car. Obviously we couldn't get an Elefante. So we walked down to Sonoma. Had a glass of wine and some hummus and a beet salad. Tanya,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm fine with it. I love hummus and I love
nice
beets.
Beet and goat cheese salad.
And then we walked down to the pier and watched Betty Who finish her set. She had like 3 songs left, and I don't really know any Betty Who songs, but Tanya's a big fan, so it was fun to see her in her element. We like kind of danced around for a little bit.
You did not hold hands.
There was a point where we were like, she like reached for my hand, and I was like, well. To me, hand-holding is more intimate than kissing someone. It's like you hold hands with a girlfriend or a boyfriend.
It really is an announcement to the world.
Like, hey, look, we're in a relationship,
yes,
sort of thing.
Yes.
And for a first date, it just seems to me like I wasn't comfortable with it.
I get that.
And then so we walked around, and actually Sissany, who was on the morning show with Seacrest, she and her husband have a plaque on the pier at the end. And so we like went down and found that, which is really cool. It took us like maybe 20 minutes to find that, so that was fun. And then we just walked back, and then I just drove her home.
Did you guys kiss?
I got to her house. We walked up to her door, and we just hugged, and then I left.
So no kiss.
No kiss.
Did you consider kissing her?
I thought about it, but it's just, it's a very weird dynamic.
It's a very weird dynamic. Because, even describing it, it's weird.
Yeah. And I love Tanya. She's an incredible, we all know she's an incredible human. Mm-hmm. There are some things that go through my mind. Like, what are the repercussions of kissing her? Like, let's say the kiss is great. Let's say the kiss is horrible, right? Then like, what happens when we see each other once a week for the rest of eternity? Or it's like, I don't know. It's just a lot to consider.
It changes things. Is that the concern?
Of course it changes things.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and I also think it's not weird because you guys are weird, but it's weird because there's so much pressure on this day. Everybody knew about it. Everybody knew that you guys are going to come on the podcast and talk about it on air. So it's like, that puts you already in an awkward position. It's like, you're holding hands, you're kissing. It's like, and all right, let me ask you though, when you guys were like grabbing your glass of wine and having your beet salad, was it more of like friendship vibes or was it more like, oh wow, this could potentially be more than friendship vibes? See, even that's awkward to ask because Tanya's are like, I don't know. This is toughy.
There's a lot that Tanya and I didn't know about each other that it was nice to be able to sit down and discuss. Like,
she found you fascinating. She really did.
Well, I find her fascinating too. The weird thing is I felt like she's very open. She wears herself and her personality on her sleeve. And so it's like what you see of her on the podcast and on Seacrest is exactly who she is.
Yes, true.
And so there were no like blindsidings. Like I wasn't caught off guard by anything that she said. I think that she maybe was a little bit more so with the things that I've told her just like about my life, which is fine. And like there was never a lull in the conversation. There was never like a moment of silence or anything like that. It went really, really well. I think it's something that should be taken slowly before jumping in and playing tonsil hockey with each other.
Why?
It's just something that needs to be, in my opinion,
cautious.
Cautious is very important. It is a good word. Methodical, maybe, in a sense.
Of course. Mm-hmm. Think through before you take any action.
Yes. No, it makes sense. It's a little delicate. You want to be careful. I get that.
Yeah. Now, who set this date up?
I did.
So you went to Tanya and was like, I want to take you out on a date.
Yeah, we were discussing, I think, on this podcast or on her podcast a couple weeks ago.
I don't know. They're all one the of the, same. One of the
podcasts. Yeah. All together, blend together from
Mark and Easton. Mark's hashtagging, scrubbing in when he's talking about help, I suck
at
dating.
That's right, they did that, yeah.
And I don't know. I was just like, let's go on a date. It'll be fun. If nothing else, it'll just be two friends hanging out. And obviously, sure enough, it like went well. I would assume that there will be a second date. I understand the ball's in my court. I listened to him scrubbing in. She did ask me to go to church with her on Sunday.
Yeah, and you passed on that, huh?
Well, so I was celebrating my friend's birthday at a Bronco bar because the Broncos were playing.
Yeah.
I'm a big Broncos fan. I will say I haven't had the best of luck with church dates as well. So post breakup with Leslie, I went to a church maybe a handful of times. Two of those times I would say were on a date. And it's fine. That's something that I also can only start doing once I'm comfortable enough in the relationship.
Mm-hmm. Oh, of course. Mm-hmm. It's such a sensitive subject.
Is that a thing? People take dates to church? I've never...
Well, there was a lot. So post breakup, I was like super stressed, very anxious. I was like, I need to do something to help me like reestablish myself as a human. So I like went a few times by myself. And then I went with like a friend. And then this girl that I was interested in dating, like knew that I went and she wanted to come. And so I took her as a date. And then this other time she wanted to go. So she took me as a date. And so it was just one of those things where it's like we should be going anyways, so let's go together and enjoy it together.
Yeah, it's a cute date. It's almost a test. It could be a test, depending on who's doing the asking. Yeah.
It's not a. I don't think it's a cute first
date. And I think
date.
I failed that test, Tanya's test.
Do you think it's a cute first date?
I don't know
date?
That it's a cute first date. Third or fourth date.
Yeah, of course. If you guys hang out, there's some chemistry there, and then at least if you invite her to church, she knows that you're religious and blah, blah, blah. You can have that conversation.
Well, and Tanya knows I'm not religious. I'm right. Open to the idea of that entire world, but mm-hmm. I on my own I'm not. And that's the thing too, is like when I went post breakup back in April, when I started going, I went a few times and I was like, now I remember exactly why this isn't for me.
Sure.
Because I hadn't gone to church since I was 15 years old.
Oh, wow.
Which I went every Sunday until I was that age. And it was just one of those things where I was like, I'm glad that I tried it again, so that way I can kind of really reaffirm the fact that it's not something that I'm interested in right now. And again, like if the person that I eventually fell in love with and got married to, if that was a big component of their life, I would have no issue with that. But right now, it's just one of those things where it's like...
Totally, makes sense. I'm curious to think, though, if there wasn't so much pressure on this date between you and Tanya, if you would have held her hand or like been a little less cautious. Just for the simple fact you're more in the moment rather than thinking about the ramifications of the date.
I think that there's two sides to this specific scenario. I've always been an advocate of dating friends. And Tanya and I have been friends for a year, so we know each other pretty well. That being said, it's kind of on the other side of it, it kind of makes it a little bit more difficult to break down that romantic barrier, because then we're holding hands and I'm like, oh, I'm just holding hands with a friend. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the challenge. And so you're saying if I wasn't me and she wasn't her.
The reason I'm saying that is because you made a comment earlier where you said, like, holding hands for me is very intimate. It's boyfriend, girlfriend. I'm curious, though, if you were just platonic friends with somebody, I think you'd hold their hands and have no issue with it because you're like, no, this is fine, whatever. But now that there's, like, a potential romance, you feel more awkward about holding their hand because you're thinking about the future rather than just being like, this doesn't mean anything.
Sure. I've held Ashley's hand.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. That's honestly the first thing that popped in my head before we started dating. But that was honestly the first thing that popped in my head. I'm fine with it, guys. But no, it's because I remember Ashley told me that, and then I was like, well, you're not holding Dean's hand anymore, baby.
No, but that's a really good point, because I think that both Ashley and I knew that there would never be like a romantic interest on either
exactly.
side.
Exactly. So it wasn't awkward. You guys were just friends holding hands. There's nothing to it. But now that you're like potentially forming this relationship with Tanya, she's no longer just a friend. She's a potential partner that you feel awkward holding your hand. And I'm just curious to think, like, I wonder if you guys were just like, hey, let's hang out this night, and then didn't put any projections on it, if you would have held her hand.
So you're
not a big thing, so but just kind of something that popped in my head.
So you're saying I shot it down before it even had the chance to take off?
I don't think you're shooting
too much pressure on it.
No, but I'm curious to see if that this cautious approach will hinder it in any way, rather than trying to let it blossom. But you're right. I don't think there's any other way to do it, because we're all friends. We're all hanging out. We all work together. So it's like a little blurry,
yeah,
but it's interesting,
so we'll see what happens next.
I have two more questions.
Okay.
One, she said you walked in front of her a lot.
She didn't like that
because we did a morning hack or something on the morning show. That's a bad sign. That's a he's not into you sign. A guy who's really into you will slow his gait to stand to be walking next to you.
And the thing is, I don't really have much of a response to that, because that's apparently a subconscious thing.
Yeah, it is.
I don't know, maybe it was just one of those things where I don't want to say I felt uncomfortable, but I just, like, I felt like I hadn't.
I think that goes back to the point that maybe your cautious approach might already, like, shoot down the potential of you guys having something, because you're overthinking it and you're not allowing yourself to be in the moment because you're too afraid of the consequences that could potentially come from you guys trying it and not working out.
Right. I feel like I kind of almost have an obligation to take things slow.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
I think you should. You poor bastard. I'm sorry that you have to talk about your dates
must
on
be,
air.
Must
this
be nice
sucks.
To be engaged.
I'm feeling very grateful right now.
Well, that's why we're here. Help I suck at dating.
But I also want people to know that, like, everybody listening should really appreciate Tanya and Dean putting themselves out there and, like, analyzing your date, even something as simple as walking in front.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure so many people do that and they don't even realize, but you're willing to, you know, say, oh, yeah, I guess I was walking in front of her. Maybe that wasn't a good sign.
Oops.
Like, you're willing to say that, and Tanya's willing to talk about it, too. So I give you guys kudos.
One more thing.
Yeah.
So Tanya, we talked about how she's just Tanya. There is no air Tanya, off-air Tanya.
Right.
It's just Tanya.
Which is, I love that about her.
Absolutely. That's why she's so good at what she does.
Yeah.
When you're at Betty Who, when she's at a concert, she sings at the top of her lungs, dances,
yeah.
like there's nobody watching. Just sings so loud, and some of that was on Instagram. How do you perceive that? Because some would find that annoying and some find that adorable, because it's like she's a 12-year-old.
It's the most endearing thing out
I agree.
There,
I think it's adorable.
Yeah. I don't think that would ever, in my opinion, be considered a bad thing.
Not at
I
all.
I think the opposite would be bad, where it's like they're within themselves. They're not able to let loose and have fun. And she was encouraging me, too. She was like, all right, no, like, you go up there and jump up and down. I'm going to go over here and jump up and down. I was like, all right, that's great. Let's go. This is much more fun than it would be otherwise.
Totally. I love people that are willing to just make fools of themselves and not even care, because they love something so much. For example, if I was at a Matchbox 20 concert, I'm going to lose my and, like, start screaming. And, like, if Ashley was with me, I hope she'd be like, oh, this is adorable. Conversely, when we're at Backstreet Boys together, Ashley loses her mind, and I love that because she just loves them so much.
That's a great quality Tanya possesses, too, is she's able to find joy in just about anything, and I think that's pretty rare nowadays. And so you find someone like that, and you're like, okay, like, this girl can make any situation into a fun situation.
Yes.
Especially for someone like me. Like, I definitely, I noticed that, and I'm like, okay, that's awesome.
Every time I see Tanya, she is always smiling.
Yeah.
She's awesome.
She's a light.
But so In terms of next dates, I guess we'll stop talking about it so much because it does put pressure on it.
That's my advice to you.
But she, so we were talking yesterday, and I made a comment that I've never seen a Grey's Anatomy episode. And she's like, oh my God, you have to watch season 2, episodes 16 and 17.
Oh, I don't know what that is, but I would watch the guy who had the bomb in his abdomen. I'd watch that episode.
Okay, I'll watch that
watch
one, too.
One, that's the one I would watch.
And I'm like, okay, I'll definitely watch this to get a better understanding of who Tanya is as a person.
Mm-hmm.
And then I made her watch my favorite childhood movie, which is this anime movie. Easton might have heard of it. Have you ever heard of Akita?
I don't know Akita.
Oh, it's wow. Phenomenal. It's like set in Neo-Tokyo. It was made in like 1993. And not many people know that it's one of my favorite movies. I actually told her that yesterday. I was like, you're one of like three people.
Oh,
that
wait. I've been pronouncing it in a super white American
Akira.
Way. Yeah.
Akira.
Akira. Yeah. That's how I always hear it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Phenomenal movie.
I've seen parts of it, and I've read parts of the manga as well.
Oh, ooh. You're a bigger fan than I am.
So you got her to watch a Japanese animated movie from 1988?
I think I convinced her to do it, but she hasn't done it yet.
Wow. So you guys go from your second date at church to your third date at watching a Japanese animated movie. It's fantastic.
I mean, I have 100 questions, so this is hypocritical of me to say, but if I were you, I would ask her out on the down low, and you guys go out without telling anybody.
That's probably what I'm doing. Who's to say we haven't already had a second date?
Well, exactly. Whoa! A couple of emails here. Caitlin, I wanted to get to real quickly. Caitlin had a first date, and she was so nervous for it, she felt physically ill. It was about an hour before the date, and she remembered the hypnosis episode of the podcast
nice.
When Dean was hypnotized. So she thought, I'm going to try it.
Love it, Caitlin.
It worked.
Yeah.
By the time the session was over, I was totally relaxed, calm, and excited for my date. And throughout the date, I was confident. I had a great time. I felt so comfortable with everything that was happening. It was fantastic. We have another date planned this weekend. Thank you so much for having a place to talk about things that are awkward or uncomfortable that we don't always want to address and sharing those discussions with us. Huge fan of all three of you, including Vanessa. That's very sweet.
Thank you so much, Caitlin. That is very sweet.
And Whitney has a question.
Never mind. Sorry.
Are you going to talk about it?
It didn't say including Vanessa. I thought that was funny.
No, I was just saying the three of you.
Three of you. Vanessa's
me,
on studio, right?
You two and Vanessa.
Right.
Whitney met a guy at a wedding a couple of years ago, totally hit it off. Nothing physical happened, but we exchanged phone numbers. At the time, we were long distance. He was in Chicago, and I was in Minneapolis. But we did hang out a few times when I visited. We talked for 7 months after. I just moved to Chicago for a job. Since I've arrived, he's initiated more conversations and outings in one-on-one dates and in groups. He helped me do random stuff around my condo. He's been very present. I don't feel like I'm in the friend zone, but he's also not straight up asked me out on a date or made a move. What am I missing? Help. I super duper suck at dating.
Whitney, I don't think you super duper suck at dating. I think he might suck a little bit.
Guys suck.
We're just afraid to step up
yes,
and ask.
It's really true.
We're just, like, you ever see that episode of Boy Meets World where Eric goes up on stage and he's like, since the beginning of time, men have been stupid. And then he's like, this is to make up for it. And then all the guys come out and dance. This is how I feel about guys. We just, like, we continue to mess up time after time. And maybe this guy's just really afraid to ask you out. But he's always, like, lingering around hoping that something might happen.
The challenging thing for a guy sometimes, too, is, and I think Tanya and I, we just discussed this a little bit, is you spend all this time building a rapport with someone, but that rapport is purely friendly. And then it's hard to break through that wall of going from friend to romantic because you have such a strong foundation as friends. And it's like, okay, then it's going to be awkward if maybe I'll ask her out. Maybe she'll say no. And then maybe, like, the friendship is jeopardized at that point, too.
Who cares? Why do we need so many friends? I've never understood that argument.
I hate friends.
Friends suck. Help, I suck at dating.
I just don't get I don't know why you need so many friends of the opposite sex that you don't want to ruin the friendship. Ruin it. If you have those feelings, it's kind of ruined anyway. You're not just
going to
be friends for the rest of your life. My thing is that, you know, when I'm older, as we've talked about before, and so back in the day, you hated asking people out because you get nervous and you want to throw up and you're putting yourself out there and you're afraid of rejection. We didn't have a choice, though. Nowadays, it seems you have a choice because you can just swipe and do all this other stuff that you don't really have to ask anybody out. And you go on group dates and you just casual, or maybe it's just gotten worse and worse and worse over the years. But it seems like no guys want to step up. I think he's interested.
Same.
I think there's no other reason for him to be always around and always doing stuff for you and hanging out at your condo.
And they've hung out in groups. He's helped her.
So whose responsibility is it to ask who out? The guy or the girl? Can she just ask him out?
I love the idea of her just saying, hey, can we go out on a date?
Modern
or something
woman.
Like that.
Yeah,
modern woman. I say go for it.
I agree. I say go for it too. He's not really stepping up, but he's always around. So there's probably some sort of interest there.
There's got to be.
And so, yeah, Whitney, I'd suggest asking him out. You know,
and if
what's
it's
the worst
weird,
thing happen?
Exactly. What's the worst that can happen?
Or maybe invite him over to the apartment one time to help you like hang a shelf and then just jump his bones.
Jump on
Yeah,
him.
And then just show you're only wearing a t-shirt. That works 100%
of
the time.
Oh, yeah, no bra.
But a t-shirt.
Yeah, no bra.
Just, good God.
That's honestly, that's my suggestion. Maybe turn on some Netflix, get some glasses of wine.
Put some Barry Manilow on, dim the lights.
Well, that's a sensory overload. We can't have Barry Manilow and Netflix on at the same time.
You know, get a few sessions from the master cuddler before she comes over. Oh, well, good God in heaven.
Those are all the emails we have today.
That's all we got.
All the emails. Well, please keep sending the emails in. Those are my favorite part of the show.
isuckatdating@iheartmedia.com.
Perfect. Keep sending them there. Thank you so much to Samantha Hess from the not professional cuddler anymore. She is a master cuddler. Thank you so much for Samantha coming on the podcast. Thank you so much, Haley, for doing a therapy session with Dean. I know Dean gained a lot from that, and so did we as listeners. Haley, you are welcome to any time. Please come visit. Thank you, Planet Hollywood, where all of us will be this weekend for the iHeart Festival.
Question before we sign off fully and completely.
Totally. What's up?
Is it inappropriate to ask a prospective therapist out on a date?
No, right?
I don't think so at this point.
Yeah.
I think if you had a private session in her office, then it becomes weird. But she was a guest on your podcast.
Okay. And I got news for you. She's probably going to listen to the podcast because she was on it. So she's going to know that you're kind
of... It's all part of the plan,
liking
Jared.
Her a little bit.
It's all part of the plan.
God, Dean, you're so smart.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Help, I Suck at Dating. I'm Dean. This is Jared with Mark and Easton. Tune in next week where maybe we'll suck a little bit less.
Follow Help, I Suck at Dating with Dean, Vanessa, and Jared on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.